morning and welcome. Glad to see everybody here this morning. Welcome to our visitors. Glad to have you here this morning. It's good to see some of you. Some of you, it's been a long time, but it's good to see y'all here. Glad to have y'all here. Good day to be with your mothers. As far as society is concerned, I think today they say is the number one holiday in the year. As far as us Christians, you rank in the top three, right behind Christmas and Easter. So you're up there. Men, I think they said rank 20th. We don't even rank ahead of Arbor Day. So we want to wish all the mothers here this morning a happy Mother's Day. We're so glad to see you here today. And we hope that you'll just have a good time and join in with us. If you're looking for a church, we're looking for people. We're glad to have anybody that wants to come. We are just glad to see everybody here this morning. We asked, as far as announcements, I don't see any birthdays, so I don't guess anybody got older. The 25th of May, we're going to do our directory photographer, and there's a sign-up sheet in the bulletin board back here if you would sign up. There's some time still left open. Miss Jackie's going to take pictures for us, and then we're going to make up a nice little book so everybody can see how good-looking you are. The 15th of June is Father's Day. And then on the 29th, we'll have our Sunday night sing. Fishes and Loaves. We're still taking up food every month for Fishes and Loaves, so please remember that and bring it. There's a little piece in here about how many households we help, or Fishes and Loaves help to serve. It's a good ministry. Everything stays local. So please don't forget that. I forget anything.
It's the 24th for the directory pictures.
Isn't that what I said?
You said 25th.
Okay, 24th. I'm sorry.
Explain these hats.
Yeah.
Oh, the hats. All the hats are because the ladies had a tea last Saturday for Mother's Day. They wanted to do something different. I guess they had a good time. They made hats. I saw a lot of pictures with them smiling. They've all got them on this morning. So if you didn't get to come, I hope next year y'all are going to do the same thing.
I hope so.
And please come and be a part of that. I know they had a good time, and I'm glad of that. We were trying to get ready to come out here this morning. As you see, we got an all-women's choir. Glad to see that. It's like herding cats trying to get them out here this morning on what direction they were supposed to go. So my wife told me I could not talk bad about mothers today, so I'll try not to. But anyway, I love all of you. Thank you for being here this morning.
You did.
Cats ain't bad.
At least he didn't say cattle.
Now you know how we feel all the time.
Let's take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord God, we just thank you for mothers. We thank you, God, for all they do for their children each and every day. And God, we ask you to just be with them, to protect them and keep them strong, to give them the strength they need, Lord, as they raise children in a world today that doesn't know you. So, God, we just pray for mothers all over, especially Christian mothers, God. We ask you to continue to be with them, give them the strength they need. And, Lord, we pray for those mothers that don't know you, that today, God, someone, somehow, they will hear the message. And, Lord, they would receive you because, God, it's so much easier. Being a mother is a hard job as it is, but, God, it's so much easier when they can depend on you because you're always there for them. So, again, Lord, thank you for moms all over today. And, Lord, we pray that you would just be with them and give them the strength they need. We pray, God, that you would be with those that are traveling today, Lord. We ask you to give them a safe journey home. We pray, God, that you would be with those that are in the hospitals, those that are sick, those that are on our prayer list, God. We ask you to heal those bodies so they could be back with us. And, Lord, as always, we pray for those that have lost loved ones. We ask you to just be with them and hold them close. We pray, God, for our country. We pray for our leaders. We ask you, God, to give them wisdom. And, Lord, we ask them to use your wisdom in the decisions that they make for our country. We pray for our service members, our first responders, wherever they are this morning, God, we ask you to protect them and keep them safe. We thank you so much for the sacrifices that they and their families make, Lord, so that we can be safe and we can be free and we can come and worship as we wish. Again, Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for all your blessings. We ask you to be with us as we go into your word this morning. And, Lord, just thank you, thank you, thank you for mothers all over the world today. And we ask it in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Great cats. I think more like, be careful, Jeff. I think more about free-range chickens. They just ain't out of range. They get cackling back there. But we all do. Turn in your hymnals. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Turn in your hymnals to 404, and it says, Well, it doesn't say. It says faith of our mothers, but the song says faith of our fathers, so we're going to say faith of our mothers. So substitute that word, and don't get let the ladies catch saying fathers, because that won't go well either. Mm-hmm. All right, faith of our mothers.
Standing on the promises of God.
days to come, let their children grow up to be mothers. We ask that you remember the ones that have passed, and know, we know that they are with you in heaven.
Right.
And we ask these things in Jesus Christ, our Lord's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can come up here if you want to.
Yeah, come up there.
Yeah.
Don't even come down here.
Thank you so much for that, ladies, and I am so glad to see each and every one of you here. The batteries? It's not working, is it? Nope. These are the ones you gave me. Oh. Huh. Maybe I didn't have the case closed good enough. I'm sorry. Again, I would like to say welcome to all of our visitors. We are so glad to have you here. Just join right in with us. We're one big happy family. As you can see, we joke and kid with each other. We don't take it seriously. We pick on each other, both men and women. If we took it seriously, most of us would be divorced. I know I would be for sure. But anyway, thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. Thank you, visitors, for coming up here and singing. You know, that's something that we need to proclaim more and more, is that that it's okay to be a woman, and it's especially okay to be a mother. My scripture this morning I'm going to take is out of Deuteronomy 32. I'm going to read two verses out of there, 11 and 12. And if you'll put something there to mark that, or mark the next one, I'm going to also read a verse out of Matthew 23, 37. So Deuteronomy 32, verses 11 and 12. And then Matthew 23, verse 37. And today we're going to talk about lordship and motherhood. Again, Deuteronomy 32, verses 11 and 12. And then I'm going to go to Matthew 23, 37. And beginning in Deuteronomy, this is what Moses wrote in verse 11, or chapter 32. He says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead me, and there was no strange God with him. And then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 23. Give you a minute. Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus is speaking, and this is what he says. This is on the day of Palm Sunday. He was coming to Jerusalem, and as he got over there, he said this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. All right, let's talk about this morning, because what we're going to talk about today is probably the most important job in society today, and that's being a mother. We hear a lot of different things, and we're going to talk about some of those in a little bit, but I'd like to start with this. I don't normally start with jokes, but this was, it's not really a joke. Matter of fact, when I was studying and looking around for sermons to preach on Mother's Day, because it's hard, whether you believe it or not, to preach special occasion days, especially Mother's Day and Father's Day. But I came across this, and I thought it was very interesting. It said, one day, four ministers stood talking, as that so often happens, because we like to talk. The conversation soon drifted to shop talk. One of them said, I prefer the King James Version of Scripture for its eloquent use of the English language. The second minister gave forth that no Bible could match the New American Standard for its faithfulness to the original Greek and Hebrew text. That may well be, said the third, but I prefer the New International Version for its contemporary language and easy reading ability. There was a thoughtful period of silence, and then the fourth minister said, and I want you to listen to this. He said, I like my mother's translations best. And they said, it was with surprise that the others said, we didn't know that your mother translated the Bible. And he simply answered with this. He said, yes, she did, he replied. She translated it into her daily life, and it was through her translation that I came to faith. We need to remember that, mothers. Your children, whether you believe it or not, look to you for guidance in all things. And it doesn't matter whether your kids are with you still or whether your kids have grown and got kids of their own. Their mothers, you're still their mother. You still worry about them. You still care about them. You still call them. You still try to correct them when they do wrong, although they don't listen. But it's a job that never ceases. The day when women who aren't mothers but wish they were feel the burden a bit more. The day when guilty husbands serve breakfast in bed and make a bigger mess than it's worth. So don't make breakfast in bed because it's going to be a mess and it's not worth it. The day when mothers reflect again on the whole business and decide it's worth it after all. You know, a lot of times we hear in our society today that motherhood isn't what it should be. And this isn't something that just started. This is something that's been going on for the last couple of decades. Motherhood has gotten bad press. We've been through some strange phases. We went through a time of embarrassed silence. When a woman was asked what she does, she would reply, "Oh, I stayed at home and raised my kids. I'm a mother." And did they not get funny looks from people wanting to know, "Why aren't you out in the world working? What do you mean you're at home? How do you call that work?" Well, let me tell you, there is no job that is more important than being a mother. And I know if you had the opportunity, all of you would probably have stayed home. And I know some of you didn't have that opportunity. You worked, but you still had children to raise. You still had a husband to raise. You still had food to make. You still had a house to take care of. All the things that a mother does doesn't stop because she works outside the house. And yes, the ladies caught that, raise your husband along with raise your children, because that's what you do, and that's a never-ending job. See, your kids eventually grow up and move out. Your husband's with you forever. So it's a continual learning process for us men. Then came the time of the failed mother, when the mother was responsible for all kinds of insecurities and failures in her child. Who hasn't read a book about a mother who raised a child who turned out to be a serial killer, right? Psycho is a perfect example. And today, even today, we still have that problem a lot. When people or kids go to talk to psychiatrists or whatever, especially secular ones, they start to try to figure out what's wrong with the child and who to blame. And for some reason, it always falls on moms. I guess it's because moms spend so much time with their kids. But we need to understand that that problem that every child has is not to be blamed on the mother. Because sometimes, moms, you do the best you can for as long as you can, but there comes a time when your child starts making decisions for themselves. And all you can do is pray for that child. No matter what, you've got to pray for it. Then came the woman's liberation movement, with some women not only rejecting motherhood, but womanhood too, and trying to be like men. Why you would want to step down the second best, I don't understand. But there are a lot of women who want to do that, who say they're just like men. Of course, nowadays we have a lot of men who say they're like women, unfortunately, because we have a mixed-up world that we live in. But this mixed-up wisdom and foolishness of various women's group has caused or become a time when many women are appreciating the fact that they are mothers, different from men, and they are celebrating that they are specially created for bearing children. Now, I don't care what man says he's a woman. I don't care what dress he puts on, high heels, lipstick, or whatever. There's only one who can bear children, and that's a woman, because that's what God created. One of the things God created women for was to bear children. Men can't do it. We have a part in it, but that's it. The bearing of the child, the pain that the mother goes through as she's going through that time period, all the weird things that she eats and drinks, all the pain that comes with childbirth, which of course is forgotten right afterwards or shortly afterwards, I hope, is something that is unique to women. So now we're seeing a fad featuring movie stars who are having kids because they want a child. They don't want to get married. They perhaps don't even want a husband. They just want a child. Well, there's a problem with that, because what you're doing is you are using the child as a possession. And it's odd, foolish, sad, and a tragic trend. It is, among other things, using the child as a thing for a woman's gratification. It disregards God's intention of motherhood and his blueprint for the home. Whether you realize it or not, God created marriage. God created the family, and God did it so that children could be raised in godly homes. Today, we don't see that anymore. Today, everything is upside down, and it's really a bad thing. This deliberately causing incomplete families. This twisted view of motherhood is destructive in our society. It says motherhood is appreciated again. It emphasizes the sickness in our culture, and it can set us to thinking about motherhood as God intended. For there is motherhood, and then there is motherhood. So we're going to talk about motherhood and lordship. God intended for women to raise their children under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, we have made it tough for women, for Christian women, for any woman, because we have a certain picture of women in our minds. We picture them as setting up emotional pictures for them that they cannot meet. You know, we want them to be this and that and the other, and we try to pour everybody into the same mold. Well, the problem is, guess what? Every mother's different. Every mother has their own technique of dealing with their children, and they have a special ability to deal with each child individually, because there's no two children, even twins, that are alike. Every one of them has their own unique qualities. I saw this morning on Facebook where kids were sending things to their mothers. And of course, there's always, in their eyes, a favorite child, the one who's always good. And of course, they say, "Mom, you did a great job in raising me, although I was easy to raise because I was perfect. I didn't give you any trouble. But the others did. But you did a great job in handling it." And we know that all children have their own way of doing it. That which makes a woman successful, a successful mother, is not how comfortable she is with the Mother's Day card image, but rather her own sense of personhood, of personal worth, of being loved, of being in God's will in the matter of motherhood, as in all other areas of her life. The only way any woman can have that kind of fulfillment is that God intended is to let Jesus be the Lord in her life. You want to be a good mom? You do what Christ asked you to do. And that doesn't go with just loving your children. That goes with disciplining your children. And we see a lot of that not being done today. But let's talk about the mother character of God. As we talk about God, we always talk about God the Father, and we confess that most fathers are poor reflections of the fatherly nature of God. I want to ask a question to mothers this morning. Are you an effective reflection of the motherly character of God? Now, men, I want you to understand something. You too, ladies. I'm not calling God she. I'm not calling God mother or anything of that sort. But we need to look at the motherly attributes and character of God. Early church writers, even medieval churchmen, had a different view. One scholar, Richard Stafford, has pointed out recently that Martin Luther's favorite image of Christ was that of a mother hen protecting her chicks. But more importantly, the way these great Christian thinkers saw the character of God is what the Bible teaches us of the mother character of God. In Genesis 1:27, the Bible says that God created man and woman, and that he created them in his image. It means that both man and woman came from God. And we get our personalities, we get our nature and the way we do things because we look to God the Father when we look at these qualities, okay? As well as many qualities we readily attribute to God, let's look at some of the positive qualities of motherhood, because all the time we hear people talking about, you're a bad mother, your child's doing this, you're a bad mother, right? That's what we hear. Sometimes we hear it's a bad father, but usually everything gets blamed on mom, right? Because that's what their kids see. They see when something goes wrong, who does the husband blame? If something gets forgotten, who does the husband blame? We look to mom and say, you're the one that caused that. And so our kids see that, and they say, well, if dad blames his wife, then we should blame her too. Well, let's talk about some positive characteristics. The first one that we have in motherhood is security. When a child's hurt, and we've all experienced this when we were children and when we became parents, when a child gets hurt or is sick, who does he go to? Mom, right? He doesn't go to dad because dad's going to tell him, write some dirt on it and get up and get over it, right? But mom's going to do that thing that mothers do. But you know, a lot of times we think the child is coming because he wants the hurt taken care of. But really what the child's telling the mom is, you're my security blanket. You're the one who I come to because you're always going to be there for me. I've said this before, and my people have heard it, and I'll say it for you visitors. I have 2 daughters, 5 granddaughters. Finally got a great-grandson, 5 granddaughters. I was raised in a house of all boys. There was 5 of us. So when I got married, I had my view of marriage. And God said, you know what? I'm going to show you how wrong your view of marriage is. I'm going to give you a girl. And I said, thank you, Lord. And that changed my thinking a lot. And God said, well, you know, you haven't changed enough, so what I'm going to do is give you another girl. And I said, thank you, Lord. And we decided to quit. So we've got 2 girls. And God, I guess, with a sense of humor, decided he would give me 5 granddaughters to really drive home the point of what it's like to be a father of women. All right? So, but a child is coming for security. They want to know that they belong. When my daughters call my house, if they call my phone, they want something or they need something fixed, right? I get called all the time. Hey, Dad or Papa, I'm down here and my engine light came on. Why? I don't know. Or my tire's flat. Can you come change it? Unlike my other daughter who had a flat one morning on the way to school in Harlem, turned around and drove all the way back to the house on a flat tire. You know what that does to a tire? It sure don't help it much. Now, when they want to talk to somebody that will listen to what they have to say and not try to correct them and not try to tell them how to do something, they call who? Mom. Because mom listens. Mom, if they ask for her opinion, she'll give it. Dads don't do that. When your kids call, you give them your opinion whether they ask for it or not. Because we're fixers, right? We can fix everything because we're men. Women and mothers have that ability to listen to their child. Because sometimes their child, and my wife tells us all the time, she just wants to blow off steam. Let her blow it off. I can do that for a minute. After a minute, it's all over. It's open game. So mothers bring security to their children. Another thing that mothers bring is healing. It went out again. Another thing that mothers bring is healing. Heal. All right. Turn this one on. Turn on that one. I'll stand closer to the thing. Can you hear me now? Okay. All right. Another thing that they bring, other than security, is healing. They bring healing. When a kid comes in, the mother always wipes away the tears. She takes care of them. She bandages them. She gives them a kiss. She does all the things that mothers do, and she tells them it's going to get better. Now, when dads tell them that, they don't believe it. But when mothers tell them that, they believe it and go on about their business, all right? So they bring security. They bring healing. They bring a sense of belief in the child. There was a book written by Frank Mead, and in the dedication of the book, he had an inscription that said, "To mother who through the hard years smiled and stood fast while others smiled and turned away. Godly mothers alike, that mothers almost always have the middle name of sacrifice." They bring security, they bring healing, and mother's middle name is always sacrifice. Mothers are always giving and pouring their lives into their children. No matter what, moms are always there for their kids. And they do all they can to help their kids. But let's look at some in the Bible. Mary had this quality. We all know Mary was the mother of Jesus. She accepted, when only a young girl, this strange news of motherhood. You remember Mary was espoused to Joseph to be married, but they had never consummated their marriage. They were just engaged when she was pregnant. And Mary didn't ask any questions. Well, she did ask one. She said she didn't know how this was going to happen because She'd never been with anybody. And God said, the Holy Spirit will come over you and you'll have a baby and you're going to call his name Jesus. Now, she was a young girl. Do you not think, or can you not imagine how she felt? But she did not question when God said, this is what you're going to do. We know from that time period that technically Joseph could have had her stoned because she was pregnant. Joseph was thinking about having her put away until the Holy Spirit talked to him and said, this is the child of God. You just hang with Mary. What do you think the people in town said about him? Think about that. Because that's used to happen in our society. It doesn't anymore because now that's the norm. But young ladies, especially Mary, with child in this time, I'm sure she had a hard time. Not only was it that, but she made a journey to Bethlehem, not into the dark valley and not in a sterilized hospital, but in a dirty stable. She went to the stable to have her child. We cannot even imagine that today. I think the biggest, the closest we can come to that is somebody who waits too late to go to the hospital and ends up having the baby in the ambulance or sometimes in a police car or sometimes at home. But can you imagine going to a stable to have the Son of God, to have your child, period? We couldn't even begin to imagine that. We see her protection as she goes to Egypt, her standing by him in humility at Canaan after she had asked him to turn the water into wine. And lastly, we see her brokenhearted, standing beneath the cross. Those qualities are the highest qualities of motherhood: security, protection, healing, belief in a child, sacrifice, and discipline are motherly qualities women have because they are created in the image of God. Have you ever thought about that? Because I know most of you, if not all of you, have always heard that God's a man, and we're not going to get into that argument right now. We'll all know one day. We know that God's a spirit because that's what it says. But we always hear about God the Father, and we talk about God in the male sense because that's how it's written in the Word of God. And that's okay. But there are characteristics in God's nature that really, until I looked at this, I'd never thought about it in this way. That these characteristics that we see in women, the ones that I just mentioned, are really characteristics of God. So let's talk about it. Let's look at some scriptures to see how these mother qualities can be attributed to God. Moses, in one of his farewell speeches, was talking to the children of Israel. And he reminded them that God had a special place in his heart for them. And that hasn't changed. God said, you are my children. You are my nation. I will bless you. I will always take care of you. And no matter what, God is always taking care of you. But when Moses was trying to explain this to the people about how God takes care of them, in Deuteronomy, we see that message that he looks to them and he says, you know, when I was over in Midian and I was waiting on was hiding out from the Pharaoh and got called by God, I happened to see this thing, and this kind of reminded me of God. He said, I saw an eagle who was trying to teach her young chick how to fly. And she tried to coax him to get him to come out of the nest. Well, you know how kids are, right? They don't obey. The eagle didn't obey. So what did the mother do? Now, you would think she would probably say, okay, I'll wait and try a little later. Said she didn't do that. Said she came screaming down from the sky toward that nest with her claws out, with her beak screeching. And what did she do? She tore the nest up and threw the nest and the child over the cliff. Now, I know, Mom, sometimes you want to do that with your children, too. But let me finish the story, okay? And as the bird got pushed out of the nest, of course, it started to flap its wings, and it tried to fly, and being new at it, it was going in a downward spiral, and it was headed toward the bottom. And then you know what the mother did? She swooped down and put the eagle on her back and carried that baby until he was strong enough to try it again. And I know when we think of that, we think about how tough that must have been. And we call it tough love. And I'm sure it was tough on the mother eagle, but it was probably tougher on her than it was on that little eagle. You know, when we think about that little bird being pushed over the cliff, we automatically feel sympathy for it, and we look at the mother and say, How could you do that? Well, the mother was trying to teach the child something. She pushed him off, but she didn't let him go all the way down. She was there for him when he needed him. Just as it was hard for the mother eagle to do that, it's hard for a mother to do that on a child. One of the things that was probably the hardest for my wife was when both of our girls moved out and we became empty nesters, because then she had only me to raise and she knew that was going to be a tough job. But when your kids leave, Mom, there's always something about that that's tough on you. Even though they may be married, have kids of their own, there's something about that when you have to turn them loose, right? When you have to let them go for themselves. And of course, we try to prevent that as long as possible, even up to the age of 40 or 50 for men. It's not that old for women, but it is for men. But we don't want to let them go. It's hard. Well, think about this. It's not joyful for God to do the same thing. God disciplines us if we are his children because he loves us. It said if he didn't love us, he wouldn't worry about it. And God loves you right up to the very last moment. The Bible says that God will deal with you, but there comes a time when God says enough is enough. And I hope and pray that you haven't hit that time yet. And I hope and pray that if you need to make a decision, that you do that today. Being hard on your children or disciplining your children is not an easy task for your mother. You know how I know that? Moms, what do you say when your children are bad? Wait until your father gets home. Why? Because, well, I don't know if you do that today, but back then, because it was the man's job to discipline. Mom didn't want to look like the bad guy, right? It's a good cop, bad cop. Mom was always the good cop. She was the one you went to when you did something and you knew you were going to get in trouble. You'd go to her first because she would not treat it like dad would. Hopefully you would say to yourself, okay, Mom, I confess to you now. Please don't tell dad. And sometimes moms, guess what? You didn't tell dad, right? As I said, all children are different. Some children you can talk to and they take what you say and they go on and they're corrected. Other children, you got to go to the peach tree and get that little switch and show them that what you said is what you meant. Sometimes mom has to be the discipliner. And it's not easy. So let's look at Matthew 23:37. When we think about God as an eagle and then what he did that, or how Moses described it, we kind of look at it and say, man, that's pretty severe. When we think about God, especially today in our society, all we hear about is God is love. And God is love. He loved us enough that he sent his son to die for us. But you know what else God is? God is true to himself. God says, I love you, and because I love you, I'm going to discipline you. Because I want you to grow up to be the Christian that you need to be. So we're going to go to Matthew. And in Matthew, the picture is changed. I'm sure that most of us are old enough that we can remember seeing a chicken and her making her noise and all the chicks running to her, right? Moms, that doesn't happen to you, I know, because when you holler at your kids, they don't ever come running. But Jesus used that picture. As he was approaching Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, he looked at the city, the footstool of God, and he was brokenhearted because he thinks about how many times he would have spared them from destruction if they would have just come to him. Jesus' whole 3 years of earth ministry was to the Jews, God's chosen people, trying to get them to come back to God. He never gave up on them. Even when they crucified him, he didn't give up on them. How many times do we look at our children and say, come to me when you have a problem? Any of y'all ever done that? Any of y'all ever told your children, listen, especially when they get older and they start driving and they start going places and doing things that we don't approve of, even though we may have done them when we were young? We always tell our children, no matter what, you call home. I will come get you. Now, We're supposed to say, I will come get you, we'll go home, you'll go to bed, and when we get up in the morning after we both calm down, we'll talk about it. For moms, that's not a hard thing to do. For dads, that's impossible, because we're going to go off the deep end. Even though we love them and we want them to call us, we're going to go off the deep end. Moms, understand that, hey, let's both calm down. Let's think about what's going on, and then let's discuss it. What you did was wrong. And God's the same way with us, if you think about it. There's nobody in here that's perfect. There's none of us here, man, woman, or child, that is perfect and done everything right. And God says, you know what? You need to repent, and I'm going to give you time to come and repent, because you know what you did was wrong. If you have the Holy Spirit indwelled in you, if you're a child of God, it tells you when you've done something wrong. You don't need a preacher up here preaching to you about don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. Because number one, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. Don't matter what the preacher says. But God says, you know what? Let's go to the cross. Let's get on our knees. Let's talk together rationally and calmly. And let me explain to you why you shouldn't be doing this. You know, when you pick up God's word and you start reading about it, there's a lot of in there what God says don't do. And I know a lot of people, when you start talking to them about faith and about becoming a Christian, that's the first thing they say. Well, you can't do this and you can't do that, right? You can't dance. Well, I can't dance, but you can't drink. You can't smoke. You can't this. But you know what God's saying? God's saying the reason I said these things are bad is because I created you. I know you. The Bible says, I know you before you were even conceived in the womb. I know who you are. I know what's good for you. I know what's bad for you. And I'm telling you, this is bad for you, and here's why. You ever done that with your children? You ever told them, don't smoke? Now, I smoked for a long time, but I told my children, don't smoke. My mom told me, don't smoke, although my mom smoked. Why? Because we know that, number one, it's a habit that you're going to get hooked on that's harder to kick than anything you can imagine. And two, you're going to smell like an ashtray all the time. But we tell our children not to do things because either we've experienced it and we know what the bad side of it is, or we know that it's bad from the get-go. You don't have to try heroin or crack to know that it's bad. And you should be telling your children not to experiment with it. Because some things that kids experiment with hurt them right then. Sometimes it's a decision that they make that later in life comes back to haunt them, that they wish they hadn't made. Because there's nobody sitting here when we look back, because hindsight's always 20/20. When we look back, how many of us would have said, I would have never done that had I known now what I know then? Well, let me tell you this. You wouldn't be the person you are if you hadn't have done what you did back then. Because somewhere back in then, you realized you needed a Savior. You needed to come to Jesus Christ at Calvary. And a lot of that can be attributed to godly mothers. Because I had a mother who prayed for me, even when I wasn't in the will of God. Matter of fact, she probably prayed harder for me then than she did after I surrendered. Mothers today get on their knees. And I know sometimes children don't understand why a mom's crying when she's praying. But you know what? And I said this at funerals all the time. Tears is a language that God understands. You don't have to explain to him. You don't have to explain to him what's going on. He knows. He knows exactly what's going on. Psalms 91:4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield, buckler. Let us point to the image of God, the mothering image of God, and let's put it into our hearts. Because when we're hurt, when we need somewhere to go, it's okay to go to mom, but you know what? It's even better to go to God. And it's better if you and mom both go to God. God's there for us all the time. And mothers, I know if you could, you would be there with them all the time. But we all know what? You can't be with your child every minute of every day. You can't stop your child from hurting during the day. You pray for them. You say, please don't let this happen to them. Please don't let that happen to them. But you're not there with them every minute of every day. But God is. God's right there with them. God's ready to hear them. God's ready to help them if they'll just run to him. Isaiah 66:13 says, we find the motherly promise of God as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. God says, just as much as your mom loves you, just as much as your mom comforts you, just as much as your mom wants to take care of you, I do it even better, and I do it more. And I'm not taking anything away from mothers, believe me. There are numerous, numerous godly mothers. Some who have it pretty easy as far as raising their children. Not that their children are perfect, but sometimes because they're being taken care of, they're married, they have a husband. There's a lot of single mothers out there who are striving every day to try to raise their children for different reasons. So I'm not taking anything away from motherhood because it is important that we have godly mothers because it's godly mothers who really help lead a child where he needs to go. Every mother ought to be a mother who acts as nearly as possible toward her children like God acts towards us, because her finest motherly qualities are an extension of the character of God. You know, when kids look at moms and they hear the word preached and they hear about how God takes care of them, about how God loves them, about how God does all this for them, they look at their mom and they say, you know, mom does those same things. Whether you believe it or not, the way you live, the way you act, points a child to God. Revelation 12:21 is the last thing I want to talk about. And if you haven't read it, it's chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. It talks about the end days. It says there's a woman in travail. She's fixing to give birth. And there's a dragon sitting there waiting on that child to be born so he can devour it. Now that dragon was Satan. And it was a picture of what Satan wanted to do to Christ. And we know that at the cross, Satan thought he won. Until the third day when Christ arose. And then Satan knew he's lost. But let me tell you something about that dragon. He's a liar and he's a tempter. And whether you believe it or not, Satan, that dragon, has been waiting on your child to have been born ever since the day it was born. And he's looking at your child for one thing and one thing only. And that's to destroy him. And I'm not talking necessarily about physically destroying him. But I'm talking about the fact that he will do anything he can to try to get your child to not accept God. Through drugs, through all kinds of different things in the world today, we see our society saying that God is not important, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that Jesus is not who he says he is. And Satan goes right along. You know, Satan has never, ever admitted that there's no God. Nowhere in the Bible will you see Satan ever saying there's no God. What you will hear him saying is that God doesn't want you to be like him. God doesn't want you to know things. God doesn't want you to enjoy life. God doesn't want you to have fun. God doesn't want you to do this. Satan knows there's a God. Even the demons know there's a God. When Jesus walked on this earth, even the demons would say, please, please don't send us down to the pit right now. Put us in that group of pigs over there. We'd rather be over there than in the fires of hell. If Satan and his angels know there's a God, why don't people believe there's a God? Why don't people understand that there's a God? I want to ask you today, mothers, is your love and your discipline, have you instilled that faith in them and sacrificed all to show the deeper love of God? Is your life lived daily in the presence of God? Do you have a decision to pour your life into your, you have a desire to pour your life, your faith into your children in such a way that they will know the love of God? You can be a biological mother without Jesus as Lord, but you cannot be a channel to the highest blessing in the world without him. You can't point your children to Christ. You can't point your children to God if you don't know who God is. If you don't have him in your life. And let me tell you something. I'm going to close with this, mother. There's not a mom here today, and I know because my wife has gone through it, that would do anything in the world for their child. You would give up anything that you could. And sometimes you do. You make a lot of sacrifices for your children. But you know the one thing you can't do? No matter what you sacrifice, no matter how much you love your child, you can't save your child. Only Jesus Christ can do that. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be pointing him toward the cross. And I know, moms, it's not easy. As I say, all children are different. Some children come to God at a young age. Some children, it takes a little longer. Some of us wait till we get older. But don't you ever give up on your child, no matter what. You pray for that child. Because you can't change that child. Once that child's out of your house, once that child's grown, you cannot change that child. But God can. And no matter how much you want to help that child, no matter how much you want to reach down into the pit that they're in to bring them up, you can't do that. And I know moms who have tried, mothers who've cried, but you know what? God says he'd go to the lowest depth to save you. And that's what you need to be teaching your children, moms. I love you. I thank you for being here this morning. I thank you, godly mothers, who are trying the best you can to raise your children in an evil world. When we live in an evil world, don't mistake it. It don't matter who's president. It don't matter who runs the country. We live in an evil world. And it's not getting any better. If anything, it's getting worse. You point your children to God. You teach your children what it is to be a godly mother. That means you let your child see you pray. You take your child to church. You let your child know who God is. You show them the love that God has for them like you do. And you discipline them just like God would them as he does you. Because that shows your child you love them. I'm going to close with this story. When we, my youngest girl, Tara, was young, she had a friend. And they were talking one night. As the friend was over, Tara did something. Of course, you know how Dad is. I popped off. Kind of got a little upset. Said some things. Nothing bad, but disciplined me. And she went to her bedroom. You know, as kids do. She didn't slam the door, but she went to her bedroom, her and the little girl. And they were laying there. And, of course, you know how children are. My daughter was explaining to her about how mean I was and how this I was and how that I was and how I wouldn't let her do this and how I wouldn't let her do that. And it had to be at 10 o'clock at night. And they were a minute late and restricted us and wouldn't let us go out for 2 weeks. But they were never allowed 10 o'clock, but they were there. You know what the little girl told me? She said, Tara, you're the luckiest girl in the world. And here's why. My parents let me do anything I want. I can go where I want. I can stay out as long as I want. And they don't care. Matter of fact, that morning at 5 o'clock, her parents called my house to say, is my daughter there? She's not here. I said, what do you mean she's not there? Well, we don't know where she's at. A child who can do everything looks at a child who's being disciplined and says, you have it better than I do. Now, children won't tell you that. But deep down, that's what they want. They want that security. They want to know that somebody loves them and cares for them. And you got to bring them to Christ and show them how much he loves them. Because he died for them just as well as he died for you. He wants them to come to him for his protection just as much as he wants you. You have an awesome responsibility, and that is to raise your children in a godly home. I thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. Ladies, I thank you so much for being the mothers that you are. And I pray for each and every one of you that you will continue to do so, and God will give you the strength. closing prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. And God, I thank you for everybody that's here this morning, especially for mothers, God. And Lord, today's the day that we set aside to celebrate mothers. And Lord, we should, because they have an awesome job and awesome responsibility in raising their children. And God, I just ask that you would be with every mother, that Lord, those that are Christian moms, that they would continue to do all they can to raise their children in Christian homes. And God, I pray that you would continue to give them the strength when this world does all it can to devour their child. That God, you would give them the strength to stand out, the strength to stand strong, to show their children how much they love them by how they take care of them. And Lord, I ask a special prayer for moms today who don't know you, who are going through all the things that every mother goes through, but doesn't have you to look to, doesn't have you to turn to, doesn't have you to depend upon. God, I ask that you would just be with them. I ask, Lord, that you would touch their hearts. And Lord, that you would bring them to you today. And Lord, I pray for the children that these mothers are raising. I pray, God, that you would be with them. I know that, Lord, all children give mothers different problems at different times. But God, I just pray for those children. I pray, God, that they would realize how lucky they are to have a godly mother. For those of us whose mothers have gone on, God, let us be thankful for the things and the sacrifices that they made so that, Lord, we could have and be able to do things. Lord, I thank you so much for all of your blessings. But most importantly, God, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary for my sin. Lord, we ask all of this in his name. Amen. Won't you stand and sing one or two verses?
490, Lord, I'm coming home.